What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Occupation Nation podcast. This is season one, episode four. And today on the show, we're talking what it means to be a social worker. We're talking to a guy named Chris Reed, and I love talking to Chris just because you could feel how much he loves his job and how important it is to him, and he loves helping these kids out. Now, I didn't know much about social worker going into this, so I actually learned a lot myself, and he did a great job speaking about what it takes to get there, but also what a normal day is like and what to expect when you get into the job. And yes, the audio does sound a little different on this one, but we're just going to roll with it. So I hope you guys learn a lot. If you like what you hear, be sure to subscribe, review, share with your friends. We got to get the word out there. We got to help as many people as we can. So without further ado, let's get into it. So first thing I'll have you do is just tell me, what is your occupation? What's your title?
I'm a social worker. My title currently is a life set specialist.
Okay. So let's start from the beginning. When you were in high school, was this something you saw yourself doing?
No. Totally opposite. I didn't want to do anything that had to do with being in the service of people, because like my mom does that a lot, and she forced me to do it all the time.
And you're like, no.
I'm never doing anything related to this. So actually, I started out in college in engineering.
Okay.
And
you're like, this sucks. Get me out of here.
I was just like, one, I was being lazy because I was like, I'm tired of math. I've always been good at it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do this no more.
Yeah, I can see that. I feel you on that one.
But I actually I was listening because I was getting good advice from some people, and it was like, always just follow your heart, do something you want to do. Mm-hmm. And I did like several aptitude tests where I tested what I should do, and I got something different every time. Mm-hmm. Like one was a teacher,
dude.
One
was a police officer. That was me, man. That's why, I mean, that's where this all came from, because I had a big problem figuring out what I wanted to do. I had no idea. Because, I mean, I played baseball, so I was like, I'll do that. And then I was like, I ain't good enough. So I got to figure something else out. So that's how I kind of fell on the engineering. I did the same thing. I kind of took a test, and it just so happened to work out. Engineer popped up. I was like, what's this? So that's how I fell into it. So I feel you on that.
Yeah, I don't think I got good ones, because I'm actually doing this job as a social worker and having teams I do now. I found this one that I think is really good. Mm-hmm. It's actually a government site, and social worker.
Oh, hey, well, dang, so it's good. So, do you go online to find this? Like, you just Google it?
Yes.
Okay,
it's called.
That's a big tool right there.
It's like On to the Next Move.
Okay, it's a great name.
Like 60 questions, and it's all interest related.
Okay,
and
I need to throw that on everywhere, dude. That's a great name for a podcast.
It is.
Well, that's cool. So, how did you get into this? Why did you choose to be a social worker?
Okay, so I early on when I got into, started in engineering, and I realized I don't think this is quite what I want to do. I don't want to be totally detached from people. And I always wanted to help people in any kind of way, or give advice in any kind of way that, that could benefit someone. So I went into psychology.
Okay.
And I was interested in that. I love psychology, and I love how it tells me why people do the things that they do. And it explained a lot of things for me, And But after my bachelor's in psychology, that, it was right when the job market went to nothing, and also
so
the
when
housing
was
market. It was
2011. I gotcha.
And
what school did you go to?
I went to Alabama A&M University.
Right next door,
right across.
That's it. I've been over there. It's a good time over there. So you went. You went there for engineering, you did psychology, ended up with psychology.
Yes.
So did you see social worker falling or coming from that?
No.
Okay.
Never, ever even crossed my mind.
Okay. So did you just know you were interested in psychology and that's why you chose it?
I knew I was interested in psychology. I knew I wanted to be somewhat like a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't totally sure where I wanted to be or how I would go about doing so.
Okay.
And like I said, after I graduated, I wasn't able to find anything. And I ended up having a real going through a tough situation with my health. So I ended up having like kidney failure.
Oh, goodness. That ain't no good.
No.
So this is all happening at the same time?
This is right after I graduated.
Oh, my goodness.
I graduated in July.
Okay.
I had to do like a summer class.
Mm-hmm.
I had to do like a summer class for marketing because they made you get a minor.
I got a minor with a
psychology major.
Mm-hmm.
So I minored in marketing. So I was finishing up my marketing in summer school, graduated in July, and February of the next year, I had kidney failure.
Goodness, man. That sucks.
And like going through that process, I kind of had to like advocate for myself, be my own social worker.
Mm-hmm.
And I was out in Vegas at the time too. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah, when I graduated, I got out of here.
So you said I'm going to Vegas.
Yeah.
Dang. Okay. And, so were you living in Vegas?
Yeah, I was living there.
Okay.
I loved it too.
Oh man, I've never been. I want to go.
It's real like it's real laid back. Like seriously, it's real family oriented now too. So it ain't all about gambling. So it was cool.
So it's a good time.
It was much more. It was more than I expected it to be. So. And at that time, like I said, it was like February of 2012 that that happened. And I kind of had to be my own social worker. And then, like, I had to do, like, dialysis and stuff like that. And so I'm trying to understand, like, what exactly is kidney disease? What do your kidneys actually do? Because, I mean, growing up, it was always a joke. I was like, hey, you got two. Don't worry about it. You
know what I'm saying? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you'll be all right.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
But so in the midst of trying to find out more information about what's going on with me, like my social worker at the time was just like handing me worksheets and stuff like, like nobody was really able to like tell me or educate me on what was like really going on. So months later, after going through that and getting acquainted and you know getting used to dealing with this disease, I was like, it hit me. It's like, yo, nobody should have to like do what I did. Because it
was
a
be
rough
that,
time. Yeah.
You want to be that helper. That guiding light. Okay.
I want to be that for somebody.
Was that
else.
Like your epiphany? You're like, all right, I want to help people. I want someone to not have to go with what you went through.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
So did you think social working was that path? Or did you just say, I want to do this. What can I do to kind of reverse engineer that job?
Yeah, at that time, I was thinking like, okay, so what position do I need to be in to impact?
Gotcha.
That?
And that's how social worker came up. Okay. That's a really interesting story, man. How did you end up in Vegas not being a social worker to here being a social worker? Like, what was your next step after you're like, okay, this sounds interesting to me?
From Vegas?
Yes.
I actually, when I went to Vegas, I didn't know what I wanted to do.
Oh, okay.
But I knew that, okay, I have a minor in marketing, I have a bachelor's in psychology. I didn't know where I wanted to go with that. I really just was like, yo, I'm ready to get out of Alabama.
Oh, I understand. Are you from Alabama?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I'm from Alabama.
So you said I'm out.
Yes, I was tired of it.
I'm
need
gone.
Something different.
All right, cool. Hey, Vegas seems like a good spot to get away,
it
man.
It was.
What are you able to use what you've done in college with psychology and all that?
Absolutely.
Is that a huge part of your job?
Absolutely.
Okay. So let's get into what it is that you do now that you are a social worker. So I don't know much. Like, I know my mom works for you guys, but I don't know much at all. I don't honestly know much. So I'm going to go into this. I'm going to be the listener. Mm-hmm. So you start your day, you go in on a Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Where does your week take you?
The first thing I do on a Monday is, Right now, we are scheduled. Well, I'm scheduled with my supervisor to do an individual every Monday.
Okay.
So that's first thing I do on my day, on a Monday, is go in and talk to her, discuss my cases, discuss whatever stuff I want to discuss with her.
And you're talking to your boss?
Mm-hmm. Okay. My direct supervisor.
Okay.
And from there, I got checked to see what my schedule is looking like, make sure I have everybody scheduled. I need to have scheduled for that week.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of plan out times to for documentation, my travel time.
So it's a lot of management, time management, big deal of that. Time
management. It's almost like being a social worker is real close to being an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it sounds like because you're doing your own thing. You have to meet your own goals. Yeah. There's nobody holding your hand, it sounds like. I mean, it sounds like you got to tell someone what you're doing, but after that, it's like, all right, go do it.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've met with your supervisor, and your week's planned out.
Mm-hmm.
When you say you're scheduling things, what are things that you schedule?
Client visits. Could be client visits, could be court visits, could be going to the school. It's dependent upon what those clients need, but definitely just making sure I have something scheduled out with each client that I have that week.
Okay. And how many clients do you normally have?
Does
that vary?
Yes. Typically, we try to stay at 10.
Okay.
And ours is at 10 because we meet our clients once a week.
Mm.
Before, when I worked with younger kids, I had 4 to 6 families, or 4 to 7 families actually at a time. And we met 3 times a week.
Gotcha. So okay. Okay. So are you meeting these clients more than once in a week, or do you just see them like, hey, I'll see you on Tuesday every week, or how does that work?
Well, yeah, now once a week. I meet with them once a week. Mm-hmm. And I'm working with young adults from the age of like 17 to 22.
Mm-hmm.
And we meet once a week every week. That age group made it very hard to get into lockdown sometimes.
Yeah.
So, you know, things are constant. My schedule is constantly changing, like daily. I'm adjusting stuff. So,
yeah. See, that's why I was saying on Monday, you never know what your week's going to end up like. You have an idea. You got to make sure everyone's planned out, right? But you got to still be flexible.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
So when you're meeting with clients, what are some things that just in general that you do? Like, what are your goals when you're meeting with them? Are you just going through, like, talking them through things? Are you trying to help them out with stuff? Or what are some of the things you do?
Both of those. Talking through things that they have some issues going on, they need some advice on, they need to, like, some guidance on. So definitely that. Also, if there's some mental health things going on, you know, we try to give them coping skills. We try to educate them on why this happened. Or not why this happened, why this may have happened, because you never really know what triggered something.
Mm-hmm.
Also, how to deal with it and how others have dealt with it. We try to normalize it if it's a mental health issue. And currently with the group I am, what I work with right now, it's a lot of independent skills training. So, you know, it's things, talk about those things like money management, like opening a bank account, building your credit, establishing credit, why credit is important, you know, looking for an apartment, what to expect when you do look for one, what you need to have.
You're almost like a big brother to these people.
Yeah, it's more of a mentor position.
Yeah, mentor. That's probably a better way. So you literally are just helping them as much as you can in any way possible.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, whatever comes about. There are certain things that we try to make sure we touch on with the business I have.
Right.
Things like housing and money management and job skills.
Like the pillars.
Those are some things that we try to make sure we touch on, but they got what they want to do.
Gotcha.
So it's not me going there telling them, hey, you got to do this, this. But, you know, they got the conversation. They got what we're working on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's awesome. So you've got to be pretty well adept to speaking, communicating. If I'm going to be a social worker, you got to want to help people. Is that the number one?
Absolutely. If this is not in your heart to do, you will burn out.
You'll be really like, fast. Oh, I'm over this.
Yeah, really fast. And that's happened to some people.
I was going
to
ask you that. Have you seen that happen with
people? I've seen that happen with some people that I've worked with. I've also seen it when I was interning. Mm. You know, and a lot of people warned me about it as, like, I was in college. A lot of professors warned all of us, you know, make sure, you know, right. talk about burnout and stuff
and
like that.
And make sure you really do like what you're doing. Because yes. you're going to be doing this a lot.
Yes. And at the end of the day, man, you have a huge impact on people's lives. Yeah. So you have to have this in your heart to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
So have you ever felt that burnout yourself? Have you ever felt like, oh, man, I am tired of this. Have you ever felt that yourself?
I've gotten frustrated, mm-hmm. but no, not burnout.
Mm-hmm. Which there is a difference. Yeah. I will say that. I mean, there's a difference yeah. in being frustrated and being like, I'm done. There's yeah. a big difference. So,
because hopefully I never get to that point, because I really love like what I do. Mm-hmm. If I ever get to that point, hopefully I have the right people around me to make me aware if I'm not aware. Mm-hmm. You know, because if I'm at that point, then I'm no good to anybody I'm serving right. at the time.
So. Right. And then you're helping people, your work, you're speaking with these kids. Mm-hmm. You can't be just like, I hate this.
Exactly.
You ain't going to be helping nobody.
Nobody. Like, so, I'm no good to nobody in that place. Like,
yeah.
In that mindset.
exactly. It's...
So a lot of self-care, though. If you're ever thinking about doing social work, mm-hmm. make sure you have your self-care down pat.
Yeah, for sure. Is it a lot of leave these problems and ideas at the door when you leave the job? Or is it, I don't know how to ask this. So when you're talking to these kids or whoever, and you're just hearing these things they're going through, is it hard to not just dwell on that all day long and be thinking about these people? Or do you... Like, you know, you're laying in bed like, man, I really wish I would have said this. Or
right. Absolutely. Yeah. Because, and I'm one of those people naturally who overthinks a lot.
I feel you. I feel you.
And it's like, there's a lot of days I play back conversations in my head. And it's mm-hmm. a lot of days and I wish I had did this. I wish I had done that. Mm-hmm. But it is really hard. And I guarantee if you talk to any social worker.
Yeah.
It's like. You can't turn
it's almost
off,
a part man. Of it.
Yeah, you can't turn off being a social worker.
Like. Yeah, because you're always trying to help. I mean, so after you meet, what other parts of your job require you to interact with these kids? Like, if you're just meeting with them, do you also go, like, I don't want to say hang out with them, but do you, like, do social events with them? Or do you have things that you have to do required from youth villages or...
No, typically we don't.
Okay.
But you kind of got to take everything case by case.
That's fair.
Because there are some people who, they say, hey, if they're in the sports or they're mm-hmm. playing basketball, right now I have somebody wrestling, mm-hmm. you know, so, you know, and then invite you to these things. So
you try to make it to a game or, mm-hmm. or make it to wherever. Just so, cause.
Yeah, they're, you know, it's not really hanging out, though.
Yeah, that's why I didn't want to say hanging out, yeah. but I guess casual
yeah.
activity.
You have to make sure you enforce the boundary.
Gotcha.
Of the relationship.
Gotcha, because so, you're not just bros with them.
Yeah.
You're their social worker.
Yeah.
I gotcha. Yeah. And is it hard to find that line sometimes? Or now that you've done it so long, it's just
no.
you know where to mark it?
I've never really had an issue with, like, setting boundaries. I don't know. I think that's maybe a part of my personality also.
Okay.
Because I'm kind of, like, standoffish a lot anyway. Okay. So.
I got you. That's just part. That's just who you are. Do some people have that problem that you know of?
Yes.
Where they'll almost be too, like, close to them?
Yes. So, like, my wife, she's a social worker also.
Okay. I didn't know
and,
that.
And she does hospice.
Oh.
So.
That's rough.
You know, she is like, sometimes she ends up getting really close to her patients and then, like, they pass away.
Right.
Oh, so, like, man. I've had to be social worker at home sometimes, too.
Yeah.
So, like,
I can see that, man. I couldn't do that. I'm too weak. I don't
think I could either.
I couldn't do your job either. That is rough. So, how much, what are your hours in a week? Are they vary week by week? Or
yeah, no, we typically try to make sure, and you know, our supervisors actually do a really good job with checking on your hours, making sure they're in every other day.
Okay.
And try to make sure we stay under 40, because it's really easy to go over 40.
That's why I asked if it was worker. How it yeah, was, because I could see it just cranking out hours, yeah, and you don't even know.
the job don't stop really. Mm-hmm. And then also, you know, you're dealing with, you have to be available for everybody, kind of, mm-hmm. in a sense.
Because, like, your phone's always open, kind of thing.
And everybody has a different schedule. So,
yeah.
Those hours, they can add up real quick.
Yeah. Are you salary or are you hourly?
Salary.
Salary.
Salary. Yeah.
So that's one of those things where if you work a million hours, you're...
Yeah.
I got you. Yeah. So that's smart. I mean, you've got to be able to... Again, it goes back to time management, because I could see it. If you're not good at time management, it could turn into like 50, 60-hour weeks.
Absolutely.
I could see that.
And to be honest, man, some situations where... I've probably been with some people much longer than I should have during some sessions, but, you know, sometimes it's necessary.
Yeah. Because
people need it.
Right. It still falls in that management where you've got to be able to handle those situations, because some people just need time, I guess.
And also, man, when you've been a social worker, especially if you're doing field work, like, you're going to have to accept that. You're going to have to accept that it's going to be some long days some days.
So when you say field work, do you mean like going in?
Being in home.
Or not interviewing, but what's in home? What's
meaning, that? Instead of like them coming to our office and, you know, stuff like that, mm-hmm. we go to the home. So every client we have, we go to their home.
Okay.
Or not, if not their home, then we meet them in the community somewhere.
Gotcha.
You know, so.
I gotcha. Does that make it more comfortable for them when you're
in
there?
It does.
Because that'd be a lot more intimidating, you know, coming somewhere like my house to interview.
I could see that. And I've actually saw that, because sometimes I've attended sessions with clients and they go to a therapist that's in the office.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see them tense up. I could see them.
You just can tell a difference in overall.
Absolutely,
I could see that. I mean, I would be the same way. When you're in your house, it's just completely different.
Yeah.
What's your percentage of in office and out of office?
Does my car count?
So, 100% car office. No, I'm just kidding.
Probably, I'm one of those people who I have to like go to the office,
mm-hmm.
because I wouldn't get anything done at home.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's me.
It's probably like 70-30. So like 30 probably in office.
Gotcha. So you're out in the field, you're doing your thing, mm-hmm. you're talking to people. What are some other things you do in the field? Does that pretty much take up your whole time? Meeting with clients?
Yeah.
So
travel and meeting with
clients. Yeah, just going place to place takes mm-hmm. time as well.
Yeah.
So that 30%, are you just sitting behind your computer? What are some of the things you do in office?
In office, we have consults. So consult is basically a meeting of all my coworkers that are on my team,
mm-hmm.
along with my supervisor and along with the consultant.
Okay.
Which is a licensed social worker,
consultant.
So we get together and we kind of discuss like what's going on with all of our clients. And
so when your team, is that just the people who meet with kids that are in your age group?
Yes.
Is that what the team is?
Yes.
Okay. And
just like the,
and is the consultant mm-hmm. like a, how do y'all pick a consultant, I guess, is my question. Is that just an outside third party, or is that a Youth Villages person?
That is a Youth Villages person.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so.
Okay.
And the good thing about that is that they're not outside, mm-hmm. is that, like, that consultant has probably been in your shoes.
Gotcha.
And they can relate to what's going on. And they
understand. So they're almost social working the social workers?
Pretty much, yep.
Oh, man. Yeah. So you're just trying to get as much in your arsenal to use when you're out there.
Yes.
That's why you're meeting with your peers and talking mm-hmm. to them and stuff.
Absolutely.
I got you. And yeah. how much do you have to do that? Do you have to do that weekly?
Yes, weekly. That's a weekly meeting that we have.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So when you're other than that, what are some of the, is there a lot of paperwork you have to do?
It's tons.
Yeah.
Even the kids get tired of paperwork.
Yeah. I asked because I figured there had to be a lot.
Yeah. So we have like daily documentation. Anytime we meet, basically anytime we meet with somebody, we have to document. Anytime mm-hmm. we call somebody,
mm-hmm.
we need to document it.
Gotcha.
And also, we have, like, monthly things we have to do. So, like, assessments that we may do. Mm-hmm. We just update them monthly. also have surveys we have to do to make sure we're doing what we're supposed to do. So, yeah, it's a lot of paperwork.
So you just got to keep up with all that.
Yeah, and also, like, treatment plans and documentation plans. Also, not documentation, discharge plans, I'm sorry. Yeah, so it's a bit.
So when you say a treatment plan, is that, do you come up with that yourself?
Me and also the client.
Oh, okay.
Because, like I said, they got it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If I say, hey, your plan's about to end, what do you want to work on next? And they may say, like, you know what, I'm really thinking about looking for housing. Mm. So I want to, you know, work on that. And then they're going to go in and put in a plan for that and
okay.
some guidelines and saying, how are we going to get to that goal? What are we going to do to get to that
so
goal?
So that's where you step in. After they yes. tell you what they yeah. want to do, you figure out how we're going to get there.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Okay. And that's with... That's how all the clients work when yes. you meet with them?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so how do these clients, how do they get on your radar? Like,
do you how get it? Get them?
Yeah.
A lot will referral.
Okay.
A lot of them are referrals from DCS. Sometimes they're referral from the schools. Mm. Sometimes they're referred by friends. Like, I actually have a client now telling his friend, hey, you need to get with Chris in his program
okay.
because it's a good thing.
Okay.
You know, so... Pretty much anywhere. Sometimes just people in the community that know people, and they may say, hey, I think this person would benefit from your services.
And how do you decide whether that tip is good? Like,
so we have to assess.
Okay.
We have an initial assessment that we do. We go out and do face-to-face. I like to do the initial assessment and also the risk assessment. The risk assessment is going to ask you a bunch of questions around, like, kind of like what they've been into. So if it's drugs or gangs or mm-hmm. if they're, like, verbally aggressive or physically aggressive, it asks all of those questions. So we do I do both of those assessments. I kind of determine if this person, I think this person is a good fit, then... If they're a good fit, I talk to my supervisor about it. She talked to her supervisor and the consultants about it.
Mm-hmm.
And we all come to a collective decision to determine if that person is eligible for the services.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And let me say that because the program I'm working right now mm-hmm. is voluntary.
Mm-hmm.
And also, they don't accept, like, extreme cases.
Okay.
Whereas, like, other programs, like... A program I worked in before,
mm-hmm.
you know, they accept all cases. So, but, you know, I understand that because when you're working with older kids, you know, it's a lot more,
risk in
a
it.
Lot more risk that mm-hmm. can, you know, a lot more things they can be involved in. And, mm-hmm. you know, when we accept the client, we're kind of in a responsible for them in a way.
Yeah, yeah, you know, so I can see that.
You know, so I definitely understand.
Even if you aren't directly, you still feel like you are.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I want to talk about how you got your job. Like, how did you end up at Youth Villages doing what you do now? Where did you... I never got to how you got into it. Mm-hmm. Like, where was your first job, and how did you get your first social working job?
Well, my first... was an intern.
Okay.
When you go to grad school for social work, you're required... Well, I think... No, undergrad and grad.
Mm-hmm.
If you will to undergrad for social work, you have to intern as well.
Gotcha.
In the grad school, you have to intern somewhere for... I think my intern for 900 hours.
Okay.
Before you finish your degree.
Okay.
So, I interned...
For your graduate school?
Yes.
And where'd you go to graduate school?
Same, Alabama A&M University.
Okay. Did you go online for that, or did you actually do it there?
Yeah, I went there.
Okay.
I don't think I'm disciplined enough to do online.
Hey, hey, that's good you know that at least. So that's cool. That the reason I asked you that is I've seen a lot where it is online. So mm-hmm. you were actually the first person I've talked to that actually went there for their master's.
Yeah.
So when you went to get your master's, you hadn't done any social working, like, as a job yet?
No.
You were just like, all right, this is it. Mm. I'm going to do this, get my master's. Do you have to have your master's to be a social worker?
No. You can get you can work as a bachelor's.
Okay.
But in order to move up and, you know, kind of climb the ladder, mm-hmm. you're going to have to get your master's. And
I gotcha.
From there, you're going to have to get your licenses and stuff. So.
Okay. So do you have to have your master's to get the licenses and whatnot?
Yes.
Gotcha.
But no, I'm sorry.
Okay.
You can become a licensed bachelor social worker.
Okay. Okay.
But, you know, you're gonna hit a ceiling if you want to go up.
Yeah. That's the better way to put it is you don't want to get capped.
Yeah.
See, that's why you get your master's. Then you can really move up.
Yeah.
So when you started this, you got your master's, you were interning while getting your master's?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
In Alabama?
Yes.
Gotcha.
I interned with a company called Thrive Alabama.
Oh, okay.
And it's a HIV and AIDS clinic.
Oh, wow.
In Huntsville.
Oh, okay.
And I worked as a housing case manager intern.
Okay.
Which I love that position also.
Really?
Yeah, I love it.
Okay. And how's that different than what you're doing now? Like, did you just deal with other things? Is that kind of the thing?
So,
you're still meeting with clients, talking to people?
I still meeting with clients. Not really any therapy though.
Okay.
Bunch of like a lot of gathering resources and finding housing for people and filling out applications, determining if they qualify for resources that are out there for them.
Okay.
So
after you ended up there, then you went to Youth Villages?
Yes, after graduating, yeah.
Gotcha.
I applied for, I actually was a Youth Villages and I don't know if you ever heard of Wellstone, but Wellstone.
I think I have actually. Yeah, yeah.
So I was kind of like juggling between the two and then I ended up going with Youth Villages.
Okay. Yeah. Is that a good decision?
Yes, it was. Yes.
Oh, that's good. That's good. So when you say moving up the ranks, what is that path in social working?
So pretty much unless you you have the option to, when you get your master's, immediately go get your license.
Mm-hmm.
And even in some states, you can get your license like while you're getting your master's.
Gotcha.
But, you know, for us in Tennessee and Alabama, we have to get a master's first and then a license, which I think makes sense.
Yeah.
And also there's a licensed master social worker and there's a licensed clinical social worker.
Okay.
And you would have to get your LMS in most states first, then get your LC. But some places allow you to go straight to the LC.
Okay.
So
it's just depending on where you are.
Yeah.
What the different path is. Mm-hmm. So when you, I guess, what is your end game? Like where do you want to end up? What is your occupation that you want to be doing that when you do that, you're going to be like, all right, I'm here.
So yeah, like I was saying before, mm-hmm. I became a social worker because I wanted to help those facing like chronically ill diseases.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's still my goal to get to that, to basically be a medical social worker.
Okay.
But I haven't gotten my license yet. So
okay.
That's one thing I'm working on.
So do you have to take like a big test for that?
Yes, you have to take a test. It's about, I think it's about 300. No, not 300. It's quite a big test.
It's a big old test. So is it like a super hard test?
Yes, and it's difficult because you kind of have to have knowledge of every field of social work in a sense.
Mm.
So like even though you can only work in one at a time, like
you gotta know them all for that test.
Yeah, you gotta have knowledge of like what a medical social worker would do, what somebody working in geriatrics would do.
So what is your like area? What's your
Right now,
instead of medical, what's your
youth services?
Youth services.
Much, yeah.
Okay. What are the upsides of your job? What are some of the things that you? I know you said you want to help people. Mm-hmm. Is that? I'm assuming that's a big one. But what are some of the other ones?
Man, what really pays off in social work for me is getting someone to that goal that they wanted to get to,
mm-hmm.
and that man, that fuels me like.
Mm-hmm. That's like super rewarding.
That's like, I say it all the time to some like people, like,
mm-hmm.
I pretty much would do my job for free if I could, you know? Mm-hmm. So like,
just because you can help and you can see these kids grow and
just
become,
yeah, just
like,
seeing you get reach your goal is what like I love. Mm-hmm. Like I feed off of that. Like that is like my championship ring.
Mm-hmm. That's it. When they hit it, you're just like, yes.
Yes.
You feel successful. They feel successful.
Yes.
It's a win-win. So what are some of the downsides of it? What are some of the things that you're like, if someone's getting into it, you're like, all right, be careful of this or be weary of this?
The downside is when you're working with someone and they can't see what you see, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. Like, you're telling them, hey, if you keep doing this, then this is going to happen. Mm-hmm. And they're just like, nah, I'll be okay. And I'm good. And, you know, they're just, you know, as a teenager, which is fake, you know, mm-hmm. You have that.
Who are you? Like, exactly. Like, you can't tell me what to do.
And, you know, they just assume that I just came out of a box or something and I didn't have a life.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you don't know.
Right.
Yeah. I got you. And you're like, no.
That's the thing that kind of gets you done when you can't get to them to understand, like, hey, you need to change some things, you know. So.
And that's super hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. What are some of the other things that if someone's asking you, hey, what are some fun things or what can I expect? What would be a short answer that you'd tell someone?
Definitely make sure your heart's in it. Mm-hmm. Regardless of what field you go into, it will be rewarding. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get rich.
Okay.
But you can make a decent salary.
Yeah. And you're doing more than just money at this point. I mean, you're directly affecting people's lives in a positive way. So that's,
yeah. And I like to say, like, you're not going to get rich part because a lot of people or a lot of kids' assumption is once you get out of college, it's jackpot. Mm. You know, and that's not the case.
I'd say it's very rarely that case, man. Yeah. There's this idea of, you know, if you go to school, you're going to be making so much money. Yes. It's like, you still got a budget. You still got, I mean, yes. It don't matter. You can't just go crazy.
Exactly.
I feel that, man. What are you going to start out at? What are you gonna like? What are the possibilities? Because I don't know.
You can expect to start out anywhere from around, let me say, about $35,000.
Okay. I mean,
you're gonna Well, the master's definitely bachelor's. It could be a little less. Mm-hmm. It could be anywhere from like 29 to 35.
Okay.
In some cases, but master's you can expect to start off anywhere from 35 to 40. Say.
Okay.
But you can go, I've seen social work jobs making six figures.
Oh man.
So like I say, you just that's gonna come with time. Yeah. Like with any position. It's gonna come with time. It's gonna come with those credentials as well.
Right. So. Experience, credentials. Mm-hmm. And being just a good person probably helps.
Absolutely.
So if I am trying to find I've got my social working degree. Mm-hmm. What is my next step? Like, do I go online to find jobs? Do I go, like just Indeed? And
Indeed is a very good site. But also, I would advise you to, if you know a company that you like, mm-hmm. or if you know what type of social work you want to get into, mm-hmm. research those companies. When you're interning, if you have the option to do more than one field, do that.
Mm. Okay, that's a great point. Yeah. Then you can really get your hands on everything.
You can get more than one experience.
Yeah. So as an intern, were you a paid intern?
No.
Okay. So you're just going and you're it's almost part of schooling.
Yes.
I mean,
well, some people did get paid interns. People got some stipends for some.
So it just depends on where you go. Mm-hmm. But and you said how many hours for interning?
900.
Yes. So what is that? What is that? Go into, is that like
it's
six
spread
months
across or, I don't know, a year
mm-hmm. Okay. So what would you say that are the qualities of someone who's going to be successful in this job, who are going to like the job? Is it
have to be someone who enjoys working with people. You're gonna have to be someone who's patient.
Okay.
You're going to have a calmness about yourself.
Okay.
And you're going to have to be a good problem solver and someone who's quick on their feet. Mm. So.
Okay. And so where did you learn all of these ways of handling like kids or people and their problems? Did you do research on your own or did you learn that in school or?
school a lot. Okay. Like I said, that's where that psychology comes into play.
Yeah. Is that a common major for social workers, is psychology?
Actually, I've run into a lot of people who started out in psychology and moved on to social work. And also people who have their master's in psychology who are doing social work.
Okay.
So they're very closely related.
Okay.
Which is, you know, if you do social work, then you got to study some psychology anyway. Mm-hmm. Because social workers have to have an understanding of how their mind works and how they kind of recognize those mental illnesses and stuff like that. They're going to know how to recognize those symptoms and signs. Also, back to like what you were saying before, another quality would be persistence.
Okay.
Because... Well, this is just a quality of life, actually. Yeah, you're gonna, especially being in college, you're gonna learn. You're gonna need to learn how to be persistent. To not wait for people to do things for you. You're gonna have to learn that quality.
Yeah, that's super important. Just like you said, in general.
Yeah.
I mean, because you're gonna struggle at some point. You're gonna be like, I don't know if I can do this. At least that's how I was.
Yeah.
Like my third year of college, I was like, I don't know if this is it, man.
I think that's everybody's like, yeah, I'm about to drop out.
Yeah, I was like, I am gonna go crazy if I stay here. I was just like, all right, I've done too much now to end. But man, I was just like, this is rough.
And one other thing is when you're in grad school, like it's not just you. Like, you're not the only one struggling.
Yeah.
Like, everybody is.
Yeah, for sure. Shoot. I mean, that's probably falls into undergrad, too.
It does.
Because, so, did you find, what was your way of getting through, like, college and undergrad and graduate school? Did you do better working with a group, or did you do better doing your own thing? Or?
Oh, my man, I absolutely hated working in groups. I hated working in groups. Because I'm one of those people who I don't like depend on other people to get stuff done.
Mm-hmm.
And, so it was very frustrating at some times. But also, it was very enjoyable at some times. Because, you know, if you get a good group of people who are kind of on the same page, it can be really enjoyable.
Yeah.
Kind of like, wait, you know, you have to get used to working with groups also in this field. Because... Mm-hmm. You're going to have to work with people in your office. Like I said, we do those weekly meetings.
Right.
And you're also going to have to get used to working with people who are in other entities as well. So, you know, as a social worker, you kind of communicate with everybody in their like microsystem.
Mm.
So, you know, you're going to be in meetings with the schools. You're going to be in meetings with the Department of like Children's Services. So you're kind of going to be involved everywhere. You're going to have to learn to like... work with everybody in a sense, but I absolutely hated group work in college.
yeah, me too. So you said that you wanted to get into the medical side.
I did.
You did?
I do.
That's leading into my question. Would you consider this your dream job?
No.
Okay.
Although I love what I do, mm-hmm. and I say no because I really don't know what that is.
Yeah, well, I asked you that. That's no is a very common answer to that. Because dream job could be anything. But it sounds like you really like your job.
I do, but I'm missing something. And that something is I love technology.
And me too.
That I'm not getting on a daily basis.
Gotcha. You
know, I'm getting that when I... crack my phone in half and stuff.
But you're getting it on your own terms.
Yeah.
Not as part of your job. And that's
something I'm struggling with, trying to figure out how to incorporate, because I know once I get that, then I feel more complete.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been thinking about...
how to integrate tech into what you do.
Yeah. So I'm considering like taking some classes or something.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I haven't gotten that far yet. I'm looking at like cell phone repair or something. I don't know what it is, but I need like... something else along with like social work.
I gotcha. Just to fill that tech hole.
Yeah.
I love tech. I'm a nerd. We better not go into it because I'll be talking for 2 hours. I love technology.
I'm gonna add though. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I wanted to get into the medical field of social work, but I ended up working with kids because I think you asked me this and I didn't say how like I got into with the ufologist. What happened was, like, the like towards the end of my time in graduate school, I had a friend who was actually in the program with me, and he started a company, basically, you know, as a nonprofit, working and speaking to like teens and young kids, young okay. men actually.
Okay.
No, his focus is young men. It's called Beating the Odds.
Okay.
And he got me to start volunteering one of those. I was totally against like working with kids. I was like, that was the number one thing I wasn't doing.
You're like, oh, you said kids? I'm out.
Absolutely not. Like,
I gotcha.
So I reluctantly started like volunteering with him and mm-hmm. going to these schools and talking to kids, and I found enjoyment in, out of it.
You're like, you know, what am I like, feeling? I like yeah. this.
So, like, doing that with him, mm-hmm. like, opened me up to, like, working with kids, and I'm glad I did that, and I'm glad he pushed me to, mm-hmm. because otherwise I'd have probably never even done it.
Yeah.
So.
So that's how you kind of that, rolled into Youth yeah, Villages? Because yeah, you're like, I want to be there. I want to work with kids, and that's where
yeah. And also, he made me aware of the need. Especially that age group of like right before teens or right in like high school first year, like mm-hmm. 14-year-old, 15-year-old, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, like that what drove me to like working with kids.
So is that hard to find then? People who want to work in that age range? Is that yeah, a hard?
Especially guys. Mm. It's hard to find guys. There's a lot of women in social work, but it's hard to find guys. And you know, as a guy, like, if you know, sometimes you need a guy.
Yeah,
that's, you for know, sure. telling you these things sometimes.
For sure. Some of these, yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm sure it helps sometimes. Yeah. So, have you found that hard being, one of the only guys? Or is it
no,
just...
No, because my whole life has been like this.
Oh, okay. Okay. I got
like,
you.
I have my family is mostly women.
Okay.
Like, I grew up around mostly women. Like,
so this is just another day.
Yeah. Being in psychology, it was mostly women.
Yeah.
In social work, at some in a lot of classes, I was the only guy in there.
Hey. So. Hey. I don't know. Is that a problem? I don't know.
Not at all.
Yeah. What do you think someone needs to do to be happy, but also be successful as a social worker?
To be successful, you definitely will have to get your master's and get your license.
Okay.
Unless you, like, did a PIP, which is you kind of get your own practice or something like that.
Mm.
That's one way to, like, not have to go through the other things,
mm-hmm.
but to be successful, you're absolutely going to have to climb, do that, get your master's, get your license, and also to be happy. Mm-hmm. To be happy, you're gonna have to make sure that you take care of yourself, and you're gonna have to make sure that you have people around you and that you have a real good meter of knowing when to step back and do self-care. Also, you're gonna have to have somebody to, I don't want to say vent, but you
just
know,
to talk to.
Yes, like therapists need therapists too.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah.
Same advice you give your clients, you know, take it yourself. You mm-hmm. know, so don't shy away from doing therapy. Or if you just have someone that you can go to that's really good at listening and mm-hmm. giving you feedback, honest feedback,
mm-hmm.
you know, that'll be really good. So,
yeah,
absolutely make sure you take care of yourself, though.
Okay.
Because you'll get lost.
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah. You're getting a lot of stuff thrown at you every day. I mean,
yeah.
You're dealing with your problems, but other people's problems, and you're trying to help them get through.
Yeah.
You're trying to get through.
Yeah. I mean, because, like, I remember I had this one kid, and I was just telling him, yo, there's not a day coming where you're just going to have life figured out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, life is like, it's like growth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's constantly going to evolve, it's constantly going to change, and you know, mm-hmm. you're just going to constantly have to adapt.
Yep.
So,
That sums it up right there. That's a good way to end it right there. Well, thank you so much for doing this. I really, really appreciate it. I'm happy you did it because, like I said, I didn't know anything about what you guys did. So I think this is going to be really, really helpful for people. And again, thank you so much for doing this.
I appreciate you, man.
And that's it. Thank you so much to Chris for coming out, volunteering to do this. It really, really helps out being able to talk to people from all kinds of different jobs. And I think you did a really, really good job at speaking about what it is and what it means to be a social worker. So again, thank you for doing that. If you think this sounds interesting to you, let me know. Email me and I can get you in touch with whoever you need and we will get you helped. So like, comment, review, subscribe, all that good stuff. Share with your friends. Let's get it out there. Let's get it heard. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those goodies at O Nation Podcast. Again, that's at O Nation Podcast. Also, be sure to email me if there are any questions I haven't gotten to or if there's something I need to dig deeper into. I'm taking all the feedback I can, so you can email me at occupationpodcast@gmail.com. Again, that's occupationpodcast@gmail.com. So, at the end of the day, maybe, just maybe, social worker is the occupation that you've been looking for. Thanks, and we'll see you on the next one.